SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, and I will tell you freely that I have a little residual bite of bagel going on. I realized during that break that I had not unwrapped the bagel and cream cheese. And for those of you that are got a couple of advisories, wait for John White. A couple of advisories that we haven't had a chance to really do. We've started the week pretty quickly. I'll send out a couple of different tweets. On the bagel front, for those of you that are coming to New York, and you've heard, you know, for years, you've heard about the New York bagels. It's the water. It's the artesian water that makes its way down from Canada under a series of aquifers. And the boiling of the bagels is what makes the bagel and the pizza here, and the bread in general in New York, makes it so fantastic and impossible to really duplicate in other parts of the country. A couple of bagel suggestions if you're in the area. Now, close by to Elmont is the quaint little strip, the little village of Floral Park. And my three sons are terrific, really terrific, but it's small. And it's more for coffee and individual, you know, kind of morning effect. So if you happen to be, you know, you can get one, and, you know, or if it's just looking for one bagel. If you want to bring home a big garbage style bag or a big grocery bag, paper bag of bagels, a dozen or two dozen, and, you know, and bagels freeze well. You know, they're pretty, they can be pretty dense, and they do freeze outstanding. I mean, as somebody that started in New York as a kid, and then we ended up in Connecticut, but we were down in New York all the time, and my parents, you know, would bring back bagels. My father, you know, individually wrapped them in based on the topping on the seed, and they'd go into the freezer, and we'd live off those for, you know, a couple of weeks at a time. So you can get plenty of bagels and bring them home. A&S on Hempstead, you know, past Belmont, and, you know, heading out, and Franklin Square, you know, which is next town over from Elmont, and A&S is one of Long Island's busiest and biggest bagel. You can almost call it a factory. I mean, it is a factory because they sell to lots of restaurants and so forth, and institutions. So A&S, and I'll send out the address, and if you're going to buy in bulk, you want to go to A&S. All right, so there's your bagel push. And then back for a second to Floral Park. I'm doing a disservice for those of you that are going to be here, and you're staying with friends maybe, and you guys are going to maybe you're going to do some grilling and Pellegrini right there in on Covert Avenue in Floral Park, out of this world. Tremendous. Pellegrini Meats. Spectacular. All right? And they expanded. They created a seafood department as well. Pellegrini. So, all right, there's your suggestions. And John White is copiously taking notes for his trip to New York and when he wants to bring bagels back to California, because it's pretty well known you can't get a decent bagel in California.
Well, good morning, Steve. You mentioned the term out of this world, and that's been justified so far. He certainly has been out of this world. And man, oh, man, have you had the legends on today? Julie Crone and Harvey Pack. How enjoyable is that? I will respectfully differ with Harvey in terms of I don't think it was that easy to call the Belmont Stakes at all. That was so astounding what Secretariat did that day, and especially the way races were called in the United States in the early 1970s, what Chick Anderson did. Of course, he was calling it for CBS. Dave Johnson was calling it at the track. But what he did with that call, I mean, that phrase, he's moving like a tremendous machine, that's the phrase that resonates through the years more than we'll test these two. But it shows you how great Chick Anderson was, because that was certainly a phenomenal call of that rivalry coming down to that photo in the Belmont Stakes between Affirmed and Alidar, too. So Chick Anderson had the ability to rise to the occasion, really, maybe more than any announcer, and especially considering Chick was not all that great on a day-to-day basis. He was okay, but you heard Harvey say that, you know, like on a Thursday card, you know, Chick wasn't the greatest announcer. This is something I marvel about Michael Rona at Santa Anita. Sometimes on like the fourth race on a Friday, his call will just make me go, wow, these are only $10,000 claimers, and he called it so descriptively and with so much information. So, but that Secretariat call to me, and I look forward to reading Tim Layden's piece, because Tim is such a, just a, you know, incredible writer, and this is a subject I'm so interested in, Chick Anderson himself. And like I say, I feel Chick was able to rise to that occasion for both Secretariat and the Affirmed Alidar Belmonts. But then yesterday I really enjoyed when you had Sean Davis on with Chief Cicatrix. I mean, coming off of that 110 buyer speed figure performance in the Grade 3 Aristides at Churchill, and I had to really smile when Sean mentioned that his first winner was at LaBois Park, where I had worked as a steward a couple of years in the 1990s, and it's so sad to me that LaBois is one of those tracks that has bit the dust. I mean, those tracks play such a role in feeding our sport, and it's so anytime we've lost tracks like a LaBois, to me, it really hurts the sport. But that was really interesting. I mean, your interview with him was quite informative, Steve, because this is a gelding who's won 8 out of 11 career starts. But Sean had some very interesting aspects in terms of, you know, I was looking like his defeat in the Count Fleet, and I thought, well, you know, he ran fourth that day, but I didn't even notice until Sean had mentioned he was in a photo for the place in that race. So even in one of his defeats, he ran quite well, and he came out of the race with an injury that put him on the sidelines for the rest of the year. So a fourth in the Count Fleet that you originally look at as sort of like this loss that wasn't all that great, it actually is a very good race in defeat. So that was a very enjoyable, very informative interview you had there. I mentioned LaBois Park. I want to slip in. They've got quite a rivalry going in the Pacific Northwest at Emerald Downs between two horses, Barkley and Mach 1 Rules. And those two met for the 11th time. This rivalry has been going on for 3 years. We just don't get that in racing these days. And so here are two horses who were meeting for the 11th time, and Barkley ran well. He finished second. Mach 1 Rules was third, but the winner was a really nice colt trained by Blaine Wright called Riser. And Riser had made his 2018 debut in the turf sprint at Churchill Downs the day before the Kentucky Derby, and showed speed that day and finished eighth under Aaron Grider, but then ended up winning this Governor's Stakes at Emerald Downs this past Sunday. So I wanted to slip that in. This is an Ohio bred by Mizzenmast. So some good racing going on in the Pacific Northwest, but of course all eyes on Belmont Park and all eyes on Justify's bid for history in the Triple Crown. And you mentioned Gallant Man earlier today. You know, I look at Justify, and okay, maybe his pedigree isn't the one that you'd say is the best for a mile and a half, but boy, I don't think it's too shabby for a mile and a half either. I went through it, and boy, you know, they used to say back in the day that especially a filly, if you looked at her pedigree and she had a lot of stakes winners in her pedigree, they'd say there were a lot of trout swimming in that stream. And there were a lot of Belmont stakes winners swimming in Justify's stream. when you look at his pedigree, you'll find Belmont winners American Flag, Johnstown, Bimlec, Count Fleet, Native Dancer, Nashua, Gallant Man, Sword Dancer, Damascus, Secretariat, Seattle Slough, and AP Indy. And, you know, especially to see Seattle Slough and Secretariat, the two Triple Crown winners, two of the three of the 1970s, and then Count Fleet, another Triple Crown winner in there, and Gallant Man, who had held the Belmont track record of 226 and 3/5 until it was smashed by Secretariat in his 224 in 1973. So that's interesting. And then I think that Secretariat, you know, being as big as he was a great fit for that mile-and-a-half oval at Belmont, and I think that's going to be the case with Justify as well. And it was interesting to me that this week Bob Baffert was asked how tall is Justify, and he said 16'3", and he said that he weighs 1,270 pounds. Well, I went back and checked on Secretariat, and in October, when Secretariat was a three-year-old, he was just a smidge over 16 hands, and his weight was 1131. So that means Justify is 2.5 inches taller and 139 pounds heavier than Secretariat, which that really startled me when I found that out.
Somebody was asking actually on Twitter earlier this morning, and I'll have to try to get to it this afternoon and maybe get some input regarding length of stride, actually. And you know, in fact, it came up a little bit with Hofberg, it was Hofberg that Zoe Cadman talked about, you know, him covering, you know, standing over a lot of ground. And that has to do, you know, mostly with body length. Then the size or the length of leg, you know, Gronkowski, for instance, a taller, just being big isn't necessarily the only component of stride length and how a horse, you know, how a horse covers ground. I mean, the action means a lot, and you know, there's horses you watch that literally leap with every jump, and American Pharoah actually to some degree I think comes to mind on that. The size of the horse isn't necessarily the determinant to how many, you know, how much ground they cover with their stride.
That's exactly right, because there's the mechanics, and you've heard Bob Baffert allude to the mechanics of both American Pharoah and Justify, and it's their action or their way of going. Justify is so smooth. He's so mechanically just perfect in the way he moves. He's so effortless, and he does it so easily. That's why a lot of times those are the type of horses. Another horse that was like that I saw close up was Precisionist. And Precisionist, I would clock a lot of his workouts, and you'd be looking and you'd think, wow, you know, maybe he went in about 13 there, and it'd be like 11-4. I mean, you would just, you were shaking your head at how easy he could run fast. And, you know, Secretariat was that way to a large extent, too. I mean, Secretariat in his final workout before the Belmont Stakes worked a mile at 1:34 and 4/5. So he was worked 2/5 off the track record in his final workout before the Belmont Stakes. And in the book written by Bill Knack that is, you know, the seminal book on Secretariat, Knack quotes Lucien Lauren as saying, you know, I was afraid that was too fast. And then he said, but I liked, you know, he did it that easily. And I talked to Ron Turcotte on the national teleconference yesterday and asked him about that workout. And that's exactly what Ron Turcotte remembered too, that he did it so easily. But I mean, think of that. You're working, not running. It's not a race. It's a workout before the mile and a half Belmont. And he's working a mile of 1:34 and change for Pete's sake. So, but that's the type of thing Secretariat did all the time. A week before he got beat in the Whitney, when he got ambushed by the chief in Union, he worked a mile at Saratoga in 1:34 flat. So, you know, Secretariat was famous not only for his races, but for what he did in the morning as well. you know, one of the things I talk about how I think the mile and a half oval at Belmont will be just a ideal fit for Justify because he's so big. I mean, you just get the feeling he's going to be so comfortable with those turns and everything. On the other hand, a little bit of a concern to me, he's never raced on that surface, and, you know, they call it Big Sandy. And the fact that you go to Belmont and you haven't raced there, that's always a little bit in the back of my mind. And in fact, until American Pharoah, every Triple Crown winner had had a race over the track at Belmont. So, I mean, that he was the first one who hadn't raced at Belmont. But, you know, it is Bob Baffert who did it with American Pharoah. So, I mean, we have that. Plus, Justify already has thumbed his nose at so many historical precedents that he's the type that you say he didn't run as a two-year-old. Well, or he didn't do, he has, you know, we heard Steve Haskins say, and Steve was absolutely right to be concerned about his lack of overall starts. Forget the fact he didn't just run a two, but that he only had three races under his belt going into the Kentucky Derby. I mean, but Justify just keeps, you know, taking these things that normal horses, it would beat them, and he still wins. So, and it also helps justify the fact that he hasn't raced at Belmont, that the only horse that he's going to face that has raced at Belmont is Blended Citizen. And I think that's something that happened more for the Triple Crown bids in the past, that they would run into horses that had been racing more at Belmont. So they'd have more of a home track advantage. That goes back again to how many times we did see a Peter Pan winner, you know, win the Belmont. So, and speaking of the Belmont, you know, I do think that that five straight Belmont wins by Woody Stevens, that is the number one training feat to me in all of American racing history. But I'll tell you, one that still now ranks right up there, too, is Bob Baffert winning with five Kentucky Derby winners to come back and win the Preakness, 5 for 5 in that. So I still wouldn't put that equal to or above Woody's five Belmonts. But, boy, that Baffert achievement is pretty awesome in and of itself. But, you know, one thing about Justify, too, that is a little bit of a concern to me, 6 of the last 7 Triple Crown winners, including American Pharoah, they had been the 2-year-old male champion. And it's one of the reasons I loved American Pharoah in the Belmont was the fact that, you know, like the Secretariats and the Seattle Sloughs and the Affirms and Citations, and he had been the 2-year-old male champ. And Justify, well, he not only was not the 2-year-old male champion, he didn't even run as a 2-year-old. But he's you know, defeated last year's 2-year-old male champ twice and did it impressively, I thought, in terms of holding off Good Magic all the way down the stretch in the Kentucky Derby and then being involved in that duel with Good Magic for furlong after furlong after furlong and then finally putting away Good Magic and then having to hold off the late challenges there by Bravazo and Tenfold. But I think it helps justify, it's a big plus for him that Good Magic is not in this race, because I have more respect for Good Magic now than I did at the start of the year when he was the 2-year-old male champ. And he had made history himself. He was the first maiden to ever win the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. But, you know, I got to thinking about Good Magic. If you took Justify out of the picture, Good Magic, I think, would very possibly be going for a Triple Crown himself, because he would have won the Kentucky Derby. And I think without Justify in the Preakness, Good Magic quite, you know, and if you don't know, but I think there's a case that could be made that Good Magic, without that duel with Justify, could have come back and maybe won the Preakness, and he'd be the one going for a Triple Crown. So that's kind of how close Good Magic himself you know, came to maybe having a chance for a Triple Crown, but he had the misfortune, like the Shams and like the Alidars, of just coming along in the wrong year to have Justify to deal with in the Triple Crown.
Well, and that, you know, it's funny how often that, you know, that discussion, I mean, you look at, obviously, Affirmed Alidar, the most glaring example, but... You know, that's one of the subplots so often when it comes to, you know, a Triple Crown run. John, before we go, I got to get Jeremy on. Your entry at the Express Bet wagering guide, your four pack going in toward Saturday.
Well, there I've got Justify. In fact, it's similar to Richard Migliori. I see it as Justify, and if he doesn't win, the next best chance to me is Hofberg, and the next best chance after that's Vino Rosso. The difference I have is then I have Bravazo. You know, as we've been saying, this really is Justify's race to lose. I think he's not only going to win, I really feel he's going to win comfortably. There's just too much going for him. He's trained too well out of the Preakness. You know, he ate up that night. I mean, this wasn't, I loved his gallop out after the finish of the Preakness. I mean, you would have thought, you know, his tank is empty. But he galloped out really well. Mike Smith has confirmed that he felt that he wanted to gallop out. He had that eagerness to gallop out. And he's been called an eating machine, and he ate up his first meal right after that Preakness. And you've seen his gallops. You know, that we have the video today that we have.
Which is nice.
The access, and we see his enthusiasm and his vigor in these gallops and in these workouts. So I think we're in very good shape here for a 13th Triple Crown winner.
The three you're using under him?
Hofberg, Vino Rosso, and Bravazo.
Very good. And any updates as well, of course, at expressbet.com. John, best of luck. Enjoy it. Should be a great weekend. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks a lot, Steve. And again, I have so thoroughly enjoyed, especially like I say today, Julie Crone and Harvey Pack. I mean, I'm kind of getting goosebumps just mentioning that. I mean, honestly, and I know for any racing fan out there, they just had to absolutely thoroughly enjoy it. So, you know, you do such a marvelous job. And this year, as Johnny D said, you've been the road warrior. But, boy, your coverage of the sport has been out just tremendous. So congratulations.
Very kind. Thank you, John. Very kind. John White, everybody. Post Time John on Twitter. And visit the Express Bet Belmont Stakes Wagering Guide and everybody's thoughts, of course. And Jeremy Plonk, who pulls it all together and digs up a lot of the juiciest tidbits. Him and Johnny make it all happen. We'll talk to Jeremy next. Belmont Stakes Saturday. They'll draw at 5:30 today at Citi Field. And we'll be there back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel, and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard, too.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Porchbills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org. Where's your
head? Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at the races. About 15 minutes to fill out a full Tuesday. And once we got going, starting with Julie Crone, things moved very quickly. Zoe Cadman and Rich Migliori from XBTV. And then Harvey Pack, the one and only. And then visit with John White. Dick Powell, and we'll close out with Jeremy Plonk right now. And Jeremy, good morning.
Holy cow, what a lineup today, Steve. I don't know. I mean, I'm like the answer over the SAT. Circle the one that doesn't belong here. I mean, that's quite a lineup you've had today. Harvey Pack, one of the all-timers of horse racing. And I know that with the anniversary of Conquistador Cielo, you had mentioned on Twitter, to have Harvey on. Well, what a great memory that was. 1981, at that time I was 11 years old and a fledgling fan. I remember Brent Musburger and CBS having the Met Mile and the Belmont, the big race. And the glory that was Woody Stevens back then, that was kind of among the beginning of the run, obviously.
Yeah.
And one of those great records in sports. I mean, we talk about 13 Triple Crown winners potentially this weekend and the history that could be made there, but you can't go back to that run of Belmont of Woody Stevens and really come up with a similar record in horse racing. I mean, that's DiMaggio of horse racing. That is that's something I don't think we're going to see anytime.
The only parallel, and it's slightly different, still a monumental achievement. Kelso in the Five Jockey Club Gold Cups.
Yeah,
I mean, that's ridiculous. And I think people don't realize, I brought it up earlier when I referenced Conquistador Cielo today, and it is specifically the anniversary, June 5th, of the Belmont win. Lucas went on his own little run with the three, 94, 95, 96.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have runners on either the front end or the back end. So it wasn't like he was stymied, but those three in a row, which was during a period where Lucas racked up Triple Crown race wins, ridiculously, that was a pretty darn good achievement in its own right.
Yeah, and you talk about Lucas. I mean, think about that 1996 season, and 95, and 95 with Thunder Gulch, and then Timber Country and Thunder Gulch again, and then coming back in 96 with Rhinestone. And, if not for Louis Couture splitting them up, then winning, the next one with Editor's Note. I mean, what an amazing run for Lucas, 94 to 96, going back to, 1994 with Tabasco Cat winning the Belmont Stakes. One of my all-time favorite moments in sport. As people know, I'm a diehard Oklahoma Sooner, 1994 was the year I graduated from Oklahoma. We were in the College World Series. I was covering in Omaha, Nebraska. There was a bar called Starsky's across the street from the old Rosenblatt Stadium, and Oklahoma wasn't playing at the time when the Belmont Stakes was running. So me and another guy, Bill Simonson, a radio guy, walked across the street to Starsky's bar, watched the Belmont Stakes and Tabasco Cat. You know, there was one of those races you kind of remember where you are when races are run, kind of things like that. And then, of course, OU went on to win the national championship a couple days later, or the next day, I guess, on a Sunday. And so that was one of my favorite all-time sports weekends, combining a triple crown with my alma mater winning a national championship and being able to cover it. It was a lot of fun back then. But, you know, for fans out there of things like the Belmont, if Justify wins the Belmont on Sunday and wins a triple crown, you'll remember where you were then. And that's the cool thing about sports. And certainly horse racing is going to give us that opportunity this weekend. It'll be a remember where I was then kind of moment.
On that front, and of course, having just finished with John White, and I got John's, not final thoughts, but his overarching thoughts that are laid out in the ExpressBet Belmont Stakes wagering guide, and the updates will start today once we get the draw done, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. And of course, you and Johnny put together a lot of the esoterica, and you know, we look at a lot of the historic context, and I suppose, you know, the people that are trying to go against and are going to be inclined to bet against Justify, they, you know, they're using the various historic elements, including the fact that this will be the most horses that if he does win, he will face more horses in the Belmont than any other winner of the Triple Crown. You know, there's all these kinds of things that people are looking for to either support their theorem or you know, to use it to take a stand against. From your perspective, and you are the one that mines for these gold nuggets, what is simply incidental and interesting versus what is statistically significant and impactful in the actual running of the race?
Well, I think if you look at the participation in the Triple Crown series over the last, you know, 19, 20 years, I mean, going back to, you know, yeah, Victory Gallop and Real Quiet in 1998, Ding Dong, all three legs of the Triple Crown, but from 99 on, and you're talking, what, now 18 runnings, 19 runnings of the Belmont Stakes since then, only three horses that have won the Belmont ran in all three legs of the Triple Crown. Just ran in all three legs. Point Given, A Fleet Alex, and American Pharoah. Those were Hall of Fame horses. And so just to win the Belmont Stakes, even a fluke winner, these weren't horses that ran in all three legs of the Triple Crown. So there is a level of, you know, declining performance over the course of probably running in all three of these races that is real, you know? And can a great horse overcome it? Can a horse who just lays over his particular crop overcome it? Sure, you know, and we've seen that. But again, you're talking about some exceptional race horses. Point Given, A Fleet Alex, and American Pharoah. Now, Justify may be in that category. He does look like he could be a horse bound for the Hall of Fame. I mean, if, you know, obviously if he wins the Triple Crown, he's going in the Hall of Fame. But, you know, he is on that trajectory. Is he there yet? Of course not. I mean, you can kind of look at the number of horses he's beaten, the names of the horses he's beaten at this point, and say, is he bound for the Hall of Fame? Not yet. I mean, he's got to win this race and, you know, and then see what happens with some of the others. But that, to me, I think is probably the most significant factor, is just running in all three legs. Now, Bravazo is going to try to do the same thing. He's the only horse this year. And for people who want to look at it and say, well, from a historical perspective, horses just aren't made like they used to. They used to all run in all three of them, and to win the Triple Crown, you should beat all these same horses at the same time. Bull hockey. You know, I mean, the only horse affirmed ran against that ran in all three legs of the Triple Crown was Alidar. There was one other horse, Secretariat and Sham. What a great crop that was. They were the only two horses that ran in all three legs of the Triple Crown that year. You go back in history and look at the horses who won the Triple Crown and won all three races. They very rarely took on more than one other horse who ran in the entire series. So that's not so much different now than it used to be. It's still hard to run three times in 5 weeks. It was hard in the 70s. It's hard now. And so that's a historical perspective I think people really need to, you know, keep an eye on. The other thing is odds-on favorites in the Belmont Stakes are one for the last nine. They'd be 0-9 if not for American Pharoah. Now, if you want to compare Justify to American Pharoah because of so many similarities with the connection, his record, you know, how he's won his races, that's great. I don't have a problem with that at all. But if you're talking odds-on favorites, I mean, we're talking 3-5, 4-5, less than that prices. They had lost 8 in a row until American Pharoah. So, and we're talking about some really good horses over the decades, you know. I mean, Ali Sheba lost this race. Sunday Silence lost this race. Big Brown. I mean, you could talk extenuating circumstances. Smarty Jones, undefeated Triple Crown winner, who just won the Preakness by what? Smarty won the Preakness by 9, was it? 8.5, 9 lengths? I mean, he looked like a tap-in putt to the Belmont if he just negotiated the mile-and-a-half distance. So if you want to take a shot against Justify based on historical barometers, I'd say that odds on favorites being only 1-9 since affirmed, and the fact that only 3 horses in modern racing, you know, from 1999 on, the way horses are being trained nowadays, only 3 horses, all Hall of Famers, were able to win this race after competing in all 3 legs. That's what you take a shot against, but you have to have an opinion on other horses in order to fish, you know? I mean, I don't think you just draw a line through Justify because you say, I want to try to beat him. I think you have to have something else you like. Fortunately, I think there's a couple pretty good options in this race. Unlike a lot of folks, and in our wager guide for the Express Bet Wager Guide, a lot of people who I truly respect have made this a coronation and a one-horse race in their mind, and I kind of have a more open mind about this one. I kind of think there's 3 or 4 upset possibilities.
Lay them out.
Well, I think Blended Citizen's probably the longest of the upset possibilities, but I like the way this horse finishes on the back end of his races. I thought that he was more of a plotter who could get a piece of the race, but then when he was able to turn back to a mile and an eighth and win at a one-turn distance, that showed me he has a little more turn of foot and brilliance than I thought to go with that stamina and finishing ability. So I think Blended Citizen on the fringe is a potential upset player in a race that's produced a lot of $30 and $40 winners over the last 20 years. I think that Hofburg makes sense. A lot of people, I think he's going to be a tremendous underlay. Hofburg's never been less than 7-1 in any race, and he could be 5 or 6-1 second choice in this race behind the heavy favorites. So I think Hofburg's got possibility with the way he finished and galloped out in the Belmont, or in the Derby. He looked exactly like a Belmont horse after Kentucky. And Bill Mott, of course, has won this race with Drosselmeyer. And I think Hofburg is on a talent level with a horse like Drosselmeyer. So I think he's a possibility. I think Bravazo has a big shot. But if you don't like Justify because of the 3 races and competing in all 3, Bravazo's in that same boat. We talked about him looking a lot like Oxbow all year long, right, Steve? Since, like, March, we've been saying this horse is Oxbow. People forget Oxbow ran a damn good second in the Belmont Stakes after winning the Preakness. He wasn't just a one-hit wonder. I think Bravazo can be up near the pace in this race and be a thorn in the side of whoever the leaders are throughout. I think Bravazo is going to play well. And then finally, Vino Rosso. He has looked like a Belmont horse for Todd Fletcher since his races at Tampa in February and March. Todd's got a tremendous record in the Belmont Stakes. Johnny V's riding on a tremendous stakes par this year. Almost all of his 3-year-old mounts have fired. I think Vito Rosso's got a shot in there. So those are 4 alternatives that I think all have winning profiles. And what a great race for trainers, right? Every single trainer in this race is a classic winning trainer. I don't know if we've ever seen a Triple Crown race where that's true. We'd have to go back and look it up. But of the 8 trainers and the 10 horses that are going to enter this Belmont, all of them have won classic races in their career.
Well, and I'm now going to charge you with going back and figuring out if that's the most that we've ever seen. That's a great little aside. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the outsiders in this race are Gronkowski, trained by Chad Brown, and Pre-Drop Billy, trained by Dale Romans. Again, these are 2 of the more successful trainers in the game today, Eclipse Award-winning trainers, and guys who have won classic races in recent times. You know, it's not like you're dialing back to, you know, we're not trying to find, like, Carl Nasker or somebody like that who's back in the game and has a horse, and he won a classic race 20 years ago. I mean, these are all guys that have won in, like, the 2010s and beyond. In the last 7 years have won classic races. I did the count for Countdown to the Crown, which will be published Friday for all my picks. I want to say it's 42 or 43 Triple Crown wins off the top of my head. I don't have it right in front of me. 42 or 43 Triple Crown wins amongst this group of trainers. Phenomenal group.
Well, that is a – I hadn't even noticed that there was – that everybody – sending a horse out has won at least one classic. It's amazing.
Well, I've earned my spot on your show today, then. I made you learn.
It's tremendous. I mean, how about that? How about that? Chad and Dale being the Preakness winners. And, of course, Dale, I'll say it again, 4 third-place finishers in his Belmont tries, including with a maiden.
Yep.
Nolan's Cat. Well, the updates are starting to probably trickle in, and after the draw today, 5:30, you can watch it on Naira.com, BelmontStakes.com. The links are all over the place, live from Citi Field. Looking forward to that. Jeremy, we appreciate it, and we'll be recommending anybody that wants to jump aboard the Buzz Report coming up this weekend, horseplayernow.com. Absolutely a support to your handicapping and decision-making. I want to thank Julie Crone, who's going to be on her way to the East Coast here Thursday. Rich Migliori, Zoe Cadman, Harvey Pack, John White, Dick Powell, Jeremy Plonk. If you missed anything, visit the website, archive, podcast, and the looping stream, and replayed here tomorrow, 6 to 9. It is Wednesday, right? It's Tuesday. So HRRN will have, I would imagine, I think they're covering. Are they not? I'll check, and I'll send you the link. But at the least, you'll have Jock Talk tonight here on SiriusXM from the team at HRRN. And they'll be in full force through Saturday. Let's send you out into the race day. Best of luck, everyone. Talk to you from Belmont Park, 9 o'clock tomorrow.
The latest racing news.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.